Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. The other day I gave a workshop and of course we talked about the threat displays in sharks. We already talked about the non-existence of these displays against humans, but so far we didn't really cover it, how they intimidate each other. Bottom line is we don't really much. Which does not come as a surprise, considering how few people study these things. But that there is more than we know so far is very likely, considering sharks, like other animals, fight over food, dominance, mating partners, and how to signal their displeasure towards others. So there must be something, in addition to what we already know. But again, when it comes to sharks, only occasional observations do exist. There is no direct observation. I mean, there was once a paper back when in a pretty much enclosed environment, and it's always tricky. If you have an aquarium that is too close, even outside, it's really, really not that simple. First, we should distinguish between a threat display and a dominance display. The former is to intimidate the opponent, the latter is to establish, quote-unquote, who comes first. Of course, we could go into a lengthy discussion on definition and really talk about if this dominance display is not really a threat display and vice versa, but that is not part of this podcast. The focal point here is how you could see if a shark displays these type of posturing against other sharks. And here already lies the problem. You have to see at least two sharks that interact with each other. Nothing easier than that, right? Just jump in and hang out with sharks, and voila. Well, that likely does not work. And why not? Because sharks, when milling around, are really very docile. And by far not what the media or even earlier shark scientists wanted us to believe. Quite often, they just seem to hang out next to each other without any observable interaction. But when you focus on the distance between them, you realize that they swim sometimes very close at their respective inner circles. These distances seem to be close enough to detect each other's water pressure produced by the tails, for example, and so a hierarchy may be really established, although we don't really see it. So maybe a threat display doesn't even have to look odd, but is indeed just establishing by getting rather close. So if we accept that a threat display can be something very minor, Mary, chances are we never see anything else beside the most obvious displays, but more of that later. Then there is the human presence. Being close to sharks may force them not to interact with their conspecifics due to our presence, leaving remote cameras probably as the best option. I mean, how often have we seen how sharks mate, how sharks hunt? Not really that often, so it seems that humans are not really welcome that much in certain scenarios. So anyway, remote cameras. But to get footage from that is hardly unlikely. I've seen some cameras, remote cameras down there, but you know, the problem is they look in a certain direction, they have a certain view, and that sharks then do really behave that way, and it is a little tricky. Of course, if you put food right in front of it and has a time release so that the food will drop every hour or so, I think you may get something. So how could we get around this problem? That's a really good question because, yeah, there is a big interest in displays in sharks. Me, I personally think that an aquarium of larger size could be the solution, despite its artificial state. Of course, we would have to make sure that an aquarium needs to have a size that is so large that its dimensions do not drastically interfere with their regular behavior. Well, not drastically interfere, it doesn't really sound promising, but you know, we first have to check it if this really could work. So we could forget large sharks. I mean, that's a saying. So how do we go about it? Well, we can just ignore the larger shark and go with a small one. So we just start somewhere, otherwise we won't get anywhere. But even with the smaller ones, how do we understand, how can we exclude restrictions due to size of an aquarium? What we have to do is compare the same basic parameters in an aquarium with the sharks that live in the field and have no restrictions. So we compare. That this is not an easy task, it seems clear, but it is definitely a way to go. So what about the actual threat displays among sharks? What's there? Well, from the get-go, there is gaping and hunching. Gaping looks like the shark opens its mouth wider than normal and either leaves it there for a second or two, or then does the whole opening and closing back to regular gape in a fraction of a second. The other behavior is a bent back, especially the area before the first dorsal fin. Both are rather easy to spot, not so if you don't know what to look for. And of course, even if you look at gaping, if you don't know how open, how wide the jaw normally is of that species, you wouldn't get it. So, but even if you do and know where to look, it can happen very quickly in a blink of an eye and it's over. So chances are that even when you know what to look for, you may miss it. So, are there other threat displays among them? Most likely, but we just don't know. Of course, there are plenty of dominance displays, and as already mentioned, they may qualify as a threat display. For example, when two white sharks swim towards each other head-on. When doing so, the submissive one will give way once they reach a certain distance. Of course, one could say that this is not a threat display by the bigger shark, but an establishment of hierarchy. Yeah, true. But how do you feel when a person walks straight up to you, comes closer that you like, looks dangerous, and so on? You likely feel intimidated, even more so should the person be bigger than you and clearly focuses on you. So a shark who swims towards another one may not just want to establish hierarchy, but intimidate the other shark, hence threaten it. But beside all these dominance behaviors, there may also have been a threatening component, I'm totally convinced, so that other displays along the line of gapping and hunching will be found in due time. But there's something else I'd like to tackle before finishing this podcast. When it comes to sharks, we always look for threat displays, we look for incident, provocation, for dominance, and we look for things that have a negative connotation. How about we look for displays that express non-aggression? I know this sounds weird, but still, we all agree that sharks try to intimidate each other, so how about the opposite? How about a shark shows up at a site and wants to fit in, like some sharks, because some sharks already fed at the site or feeding, and the newcomer wants to be part of it? So how would the new shark, that may not be large, go about it? It could be that the newcomer, has a display that the others interpret as non-confrontational. Just assume for a second that the dominant shark tries to establish its position, and the targeted shark then performs a behavior that says, "Hey, look, I'm cool with you being the top shark here. No need to establish hierarchy over me." Some food for thought, right? Well, me, I keep looking for this particular display. I truly believe there's something out there that sharks, even from distant species, perform so that the other one knows its presence is cool. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.